might have to give them a little bit more of a background. You can tolerate that.
I can always tolerate the bizarre.
Okay, that's good. And
I think you're the youngest guy here, though.
And let's just mention. Mention where we're up to, so we can turn to the page. And here's where we got up to. We're on Samach Beis Amin Al.
No, sorry.
Okay then? Samach Beis Amin Al. If you want to count down from the top on Samach Beis Amin Aleph, we're looking for Umi Isle, which would be about 7 lines down from the top. Okay then?
Yeah, got it.
So let's give a little bit of an introduction here. When the Kohen brings the Korban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash, it's critical that he has the right kavanos, the right intentions, for the sake of achila, meaning that the purpose of the Korban Pesach is to be eaten. There's a mitzvah back in the time of the Mikdash of eating the Korban Pesach. And if he has in mind, for the sake of someone who can't possibly eat the Korban Pesach, then that's not good. That's going to invalidate the Korban. Now, we have what's called the Bailam of the Korban. The Bailam of the Korban are those who got together as a group, as they did for the Korban Pesach, for what's called Minui. Minui means we get together a group. Let's say our group here, we decide we're going to buy a lamb together. We're going to each chip in. And that lamb is designated for the Korban Pesach. So we're allowed to eat from this Korban Pesach. But someone who's not part of that group, he didn't join our group, he's excluded from the Korban Pesach. So if the Kohen had in mind, when he did the Avodah of the Korban Pesach, that this should be done for the sake of so-and-so who's not part of the group, that means he can't eat from the Korban Pesach, which is called Shalol Yochla, then the Korban is possible. It's absolutely invalid, because the essence of the Korban Pesach is to eat the Korban. And this fellow, with all due respect, he can't eat the Korban because he was never part of the original group. Now, in general, with regard to all karbonos, we have something called shalol l'shem bailov, which means that if, let's say, Reuven brings a karbon, I'm not talking about a Korban Pesach right now, and the Kohen has in mind for Shimon, and Shimon is not the one who brought the karbon, then that's a psul. That's going to invalidate the karbon. Correct? And the reason for that is because of shinui bailov. So shinui bailov means that instead of having in mind the person who brought the carbon, who's called the bailov, he has in mind someone else, that could undermine the carbon. Now, in the case of Korban Pesach, when we hone in on Korban Pesach, what's unique about Korban Pesach is that anyone who's not in the original chabura, he's not monoi, he didn't join us to buy the Korban Pesach, he's by definition outside of the realm of Bailam. He's not the Bala Karban. So if the Kohen had in mind that he's doing the Avodah for someone who's not money on the Karban Pesach, that's the same as Shalol L'shem Bailam. However,
it's a type of Shalol Bailam, or it's a difference?
Well, here's where the difference is. The difference between this case of Shalol Nuyov and Karban Pesach and the general case of Shalol Bailam, of Shinui Bailam, is in the following context. We have something called dumya. And what does dumya mean? Dumya means that there has to be a similarity between the Bailim, Reuven, and this guy Shimon, who's not the Bailim, for whom the Kohen had in mind. And what does that dumya mean? That Shimon could have easily brought this carbon. In other words, he's roi l'hakrova. He's in the parasha, as we would say. He's suitable for the karma. And that's called dumya. Okay? So if you take a look at the second line on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, you'll see the word dumya. Do you see that word? It's the last line, the last word in the line. And that's called chavera dumya dideh. What does that mean? Every karma has its kapara. And shelo lebailav means he had in mind for someone else who's not the bailav, but he's dumya diday, which means he's a bar kapara. What does a bar kapara mean? That theoretically he could have the kapara. Are you following me? So this is what we did last week. Now, here's where Korban Pesach becomes very unique. Why? Because if the Kohen who brought the Korban had in mind Shimon, who's not a member of the group, then that's already considered Shinui Bailin, because by definition he's not the Bala Korban. He can't be the Bala Korban because he's not Manu. Is that clear so far? But is he Dumya Didei? Meaning, could he have been the Bala Korban? So what would you say?
If he could have been, then much of that.
No, but I'm saying in general. I mean, before we get to the exceptional cases, right? The general would be, is Shimon, who's not counted in the Chabur, he's not part of the original membership, could he theoretically be the Bar Kapara vis-a-vis Korban Pesach?
No.
Why not?
Because he's not Manu.
Well, again, he's not Manui as a technical issue, but as far as his Kapara is concerned, you know, it's his relationship to a Korban Pesach is a very positive one.
Yeah.
But let's say that Shimon was not only outside of the membership, he wasn't a Manui, but on top of that, he was an RL. Nice. So in the case of an RL, says Rav Ashi, that if the RL has two strikes against him, number one, he's not part of the Manu, and number two, he has no way, no how that he can eat the Korban Pesach. So he's not considered Dumya de Chavera. Now, it's all the members of the Chabur have one thing in common. They're all capable of what? Help me out here, guys.
Kapar.
They're all capable of Kapar through what? What is the Kapar in Korban Pesach? Achila. They're all capable of Achila. Now, there's a guy named Shimon, who's not part of the Chabura, so that's one strike against him, but on top of that, Shimon is an Orel.
He's
not a Bar Kapar, he's completely excluded from the Korban Pesach. So comes along Rav Chisda, and he says, according to Rav Ashi, the Korban is possible. Now, why is the Korban possible if the Kohen had in mind L'shem and Orel, who's not part of the Chabura? What about this principle of Dumya? Then we require chavero dumya didei mahu bar kapara af chavero bar kapara, and therefore we should exclude the RL. He's a lot bar kapara as far as Korban Pesach is concerned. No way, no how can he bring the Korban Pesach? Can he eat the Korban Pesach? He's completely excluded. So why would that be a shini bailin? And the Gemara says Rav Chisda savar high RL nami. Even the RL is considered bar kapara. Why? Hoil. Now that's the word you want to underline. Now for some reason it's in brackets, which usually means that there's a question about the version, the correct transmission, but...
Mine doesn't have it in brackets.
You don't have it in brackets. That's good.
The first one it is.
Do you have the word hoil? It should be on line 6. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down.
Yeah, there it's in brackets.
Oh, there it is in brackets.
But the second one's not.
Alright. So that hoil is very critical, because that tells us, according to Rav Ashi, why this Korban is going to be possible to Rav Chisda, when the Kohen had in mind a machshava for Shimon, and Shimon is not only outside of the membership of the Chabur, he's also an Orel. And the answer is Hoil. Now, what does this magic word Hoil mean? How would you translate the word Hoil into English?
Because?
Since. Yeah, I would call it since. Hoil vi bai misake nafshe. How would you translate those words?
He could correct himself.
Excellent. And how?
By doing a
bris mila. So in other words, the case of Eino Dumya would be a person who could never ever be part of the Korban Pesach.
Let's say there's things listed for the Kohanim, some physical thing that you cannot...
Correct. Mm-hmm. Let's say, for example, he's a Balmum, he can't eat the Korban, he's a Zakeh, he's so old, he can't eat the Kazayas of the Basar Pesach. Those kind of situations are irreversible. There's no biyado l'sakna. So you can't apply Hoil. But when can you apply Hoil, says Rav Chisda, in the case of an Orel? Why? Because the Orel could do a bris mila, and then he becomes a bar kapor, meaning he can eat from the Korban Pesach. Rabbah disagrees. Rabbah holds that we don't apply the principle of Hoil. And right now, Basher Usham, in his present state, he's an Orel. And if he's an Orel, he's not a Bar Kapor, he can't possibly eat the Korban Pesach, and therefore, paradoxically, because he's so far removed from the Korban Pesach, then the Machshava to shecht the Korban Pesach on behalf of this guy who's on the moon, as far as Korban Pesach is concerned, there's no way he can eat the Korban Pesach, then the Korban is kosher. So it's fascinating here, because the further away you push Shimon from the eligibility for the Korban Pesach, the more you could be machshir the Korban Pesach and validate it, because this person is not a Bar Kapon. So I'll give you an example. What would be, again, this is a very strange example, but just a lesaber et ha'ozen, as we say. What would be if the Kohen had a machshava that this Korban is going to his pet dog? Anybody here have a dog? I would not recommend you feed the Korban Pesach to your dog. That's not a good thing to do. We can get some good food for your dog, but not the Korban Pesach.
He's not Bar Kapara.
So this, he's not a Bar Kapara. So in such a case, even Rav Chisda would agree that the dog can't become a person.
Because he's not by mitakin.
And there's no hoel. But in the case of Aril, Rav Chisda says that the Aril is still included here in the Chabur. He's Dumya de Chabero. Because he's Efshar Hoil, he's Efshar Litakno Yidei Mu.
And therefore, Shinu Bailim.
And therefore, there's a psul of Shinu Bailim because it's Dumya and the carbon is possible. Now, there's a gigantic machlokas here, which we'll get to, about whether Rav Chisda is on a Doraisa level or a Drabbanan level. And does the Torah law say that this carbon is possible, or the Rabbanan say it's possible? So we'll hold off on that until we read a little bit more of the Gemara. And then we'll get a more of a sink at teeth into that carbon.
The oil was since he realized.
No. Since halachically, legally, he has the potential to be a Bar Kapara to eat the carbon pesa, if only he would subject himself to a circumcision. Therefore, as far as the circle of carbon pesach is concerned, he's included in the carbon pesa. It's sort of like. Is there a ring around Saturn, if I remember from my early days in elementary school?
It's still
So there's the Saturn itself, the globe, and then there's the ring around the globe. The ring around the globe, says Rav Chisda, which includes it in the parish of Korban Pesach, is anyone who can simply do an action, and if he does that action, he becomes a Bar Kapar, he's included in the Korban Pesach.
He fixes the problem.
Well, he can fix the problem. And in the case of an Ariel, he can fix the problem.
You're saying it retroactively.
No. I'm not introducing retroactive. Okay. We're just trying to define the aura. Where does he belong? Is he in the parish of Korban Pesach, or is he even beyond the ring around the circle?
I think some of the confusion is because what we're saying is a form of a kula, which is essentially a chumrah, and so
correct.
Why is that? So the kula is that even though he's currently an aura, he could do mila, so therefore he's included, but that's a chumrah because the concept of shinu b'ayin, right? You can change who the owner is of the Korban Pesach.
That, and it's called dumi.
So if you do a legal change, a valid change, then that puzzles it. So the question is this a valid change? You'd think that it's not because he's an RL, but the answer is, we're makel to say that it is a valid change, which means we're machmir on shinu b'ayin. So that's why it's a puzzle.
Interesting, okay.
So again, because I'm just repeating what Max said so beautifully, I can't say it as beautifully as Max, but because this person is a candidate in potential, right? So I'll give you an example. You can have someone who can't vote in an election because he's right now in the wrong state, so he's not registered in the polls. Then you can have someone who doesn't even have citizenship. He's not an American citizen, so he can't vote. And again, we can apply this to any country on the face of the earth, probably even to Holland if we have to stretch it. We have that Dutch member. So here's the question. How do you view an RL? Is an RL vis-a-vis voting rights considered like a foreigner? He's an alien, he doesn't have citizenship, because an RL is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. Or do we say no? He's in the wrong state. He just has to cross over the border and go from one state to the other and register in his local poll, then he can vote. So that potential is there, and we consider him part of the Korban Pesach. And what Max is pointing out here is that dafka because we're considering the Orel as a potential member of the group, because all he has to do is milos, that's Hoel of Rav Chisda, therefore he's considered dumya de chavero, he's a bar kapar, he's included in Karban Pesach, and now the halach of shinu bailin, which passes the Karban, is activated. Rav, on the other hand, says that what's the status of an Orel? He's like a fellow who's not a citizen. You know, he's out of the ballpark. He's not even a potential bar kapar.
Would the RL have to state his intention?
No. In fact, I'll tell you even more than that. We're not talking about an RL who's a deliberate, renegade to the Jewish people. You know, today, there's all in every country, you know, they're talking about passing laws to outlaw circumcision, blah, blah, blah. That's not what we're talking about. No, we're talking about a fellow whose two brothers, his older brothers, died as a result of milu. Do you know what that's called in the medical field? Anybody know? Hemophilia. Do you know what hemophilia is? Hemophilia is a blood disease with a blood clot. Now, back in the day, they didn't know exactly how to test for hemophilia, but the halacha was very sensitive that if not on one occasion, but on two occasions in the same family, tragedy struck, and as a result of milu, the baby's died, then the third baby is going to remain in Orel for the rest of his life. He can't even volunteer for bris milu. The halacha will not allow him to do so. Because as great as the mitzvah is,
it's a
sakana, and you cannot override, you know, human life for chaybohem, except for the big three, but not for milu. So imagine Rav Chisda's logic over here. You're talking about an Orel who, if he came forward and said, I want to volunteer for Milo, we would not allow him to do it. And Rav Chisda is still going to insist, Hoel, that he's a bar kapar. Because potentially he could rectify the situation. What do you mean potentially correct? All of the Mefarshim ask, it's Mesu Achim Bachmas Amila, his two brothers died. Remember? How can you possibly do a meal on him? So you're telling me, well, he has the potential. But, you know, the halacha works in abstract legal categories. And in terms of the legal category of this RL, he's considered Hoel. He's considered part of Hoel. So again, what we have to know as we take off, you know, as the plane takes off in this sugya for tonight, is that there's machlokas shein Rav Chisda and Rav, and the names are critical here. If you get mixed up with the names, you're in trouble. Rav Chisda accepts Hoel, and therefore he's going to apostle the Karban Pesach. Rabba rejects Hoel. And that leads us to tonight's Gemara. Okay, so what line did we say it was? Number 7 we counted? Umi is Leila Rav Chisda Hoel. Are you telling me, Rav Ashi, that Rav Chisda embraces the Svar of Hoel, that since there's a potential, therefore the halacha looks at it as if that potential was actualized? Again, without retroactivity, you don't have to introduce retroactivity, but in terms of categorizing the person, since down the line he has it within his potential to rectify the situation, correct it, therefore we consider him included already. And that's Rav Chisda's view, accepting, adopting the principle of Hoel. Va'itvar, we have a very famous case where Rav Chisda rejects Hoel. And where does Rav Chisda reject Hoel? Ha'ofem yantif l'chol. Now on yantif we're allowed to bake, but there's one restriction, there's one caveat. And what's that? You have to have in mind that the food that you're baking will be eaten on yantif. If you're preparing on yantif for chol, that's a violation of a lav d'oraisa, of a violation of a d'oraisa. You get malchus for that. Again, the question is how we prove it.
It doesn't have to all be eaten on yantif, does it?
Well, that's it.
So that's the sugi that we're learning now. So he made a declaration that he is baking now for tomorrow. So let's say Yontif is on a Sunday, and he says, I'm baking because tomorrow on Monday, on Isru Chag, we're having a party. Rav Chisda Amar Loke, he gets Malkus in this case. And Rabba Amar Eino Loke. Rabba Amar Eino Loke, why does Rabba say that there's no violation here? The Amrinon Hoil. Because we're going to apply the principle of Hoel. The man is baking for the express declared purpose of tomorrow, of Chol. And yet we're going to apply the principle of Hoel. What does Hoel mean? Hoel vi mekloy le archim. Who knocks on his door on that very Sunday of Yontif?
guests.
Guests, right? The three Arab wayfarers of Avraham Avinu all of a sudden knock on the door. It's Chazile. He's got now. He's got fresh gebacht, you know, fresh baked, oven baked, hopefully spelt challahs, right? Because I spelled right, and great, you know, this is a wonderful experience. The man knocks on his he may even be a total stranger. He knocks on his door, ich bin du, and he says, "Can you give me a piece of bread?" The guy says, "Well, I just took out bread from the oven, which I make for tomorrow, but I'm going to feed it to you today." That's called hoil. And therefore, since it's hoil, we can consider this baking as if it was done for Yontif, based on the logic of hoil. But who maintains
Rabba,
this?
Rabba,
we're in trouble here because the wires got crossed. Rav Chisda Amar lo keh, delamrin hoil. We're not going to accept hoil. The man expressed his opinion that he's baking for tomorrow. That was his intention. You can tell me, well, you know, somebody's going to fly out of a helicopter, you know, and then show up at his door and ask for a piece of bread, so therefore he prepared for him. That we're not going to accept. So now the Gemara has to reconcile these two opinions. Rabba with Rabba, where there's a stira, a contradiction, and Rav Chisda with Rav Chisda. Because in the case of Karpon Pesach with regard to an RL, Rav Chisda said, we apply the principle of Hol. In the case of Hol, Vikloy Orchim, in the case of Ofer Miyantav L'chol, Rav Chisda rejected the principle of Hol. Now we have a stira in Rabba. Because Rabba, in the case of an RL in Karpon Pesach, accepted Hol. But Rabba, in the case of Ofer Miyantav L'chol, rejected Hol. Bishlev, the Gemara says, I can square with Rabba. That's an easy one. Why? The Rabba lo kasha, hocha mechusar maisa. In the case of Orel, Rabba is not willing to accept Hoil, because you're going to tell me that this Orel is a bar kapara. Oh yes, it's true that he could undergo Mila, but right now, he hasn't done so. So if things remain status quo, the RL is excluded from Karban Pesach. You want to tell me you're going to do somersaults in the end, change the situation through a Maisa Mila, that's not within the purview of Hoy. But Hassam, the man bakes bread on Yontif, lo mechusar maisa. Bless you, he doesn't have to do anything. He just sits passively and waits till the Archim knock on his door. He has no clue when there will be Archim who knock on his door. But they may come around. And since they might come around, then he doesn't have to do anything actively. Again, he probably has to do one thing actively. What does he have to do? He has to invite them in. No? I mean, I don't think the Arkham are going to break into his door, garage the door now. That's also possible.
Why does he even have to be Arkham? Why couldn't it just be him, his wife?
Maybe he'll get, all of a sudden he'll get very hungry?
Yeah.
Excellent question. I don't know. I'm gonna give you a technical answer, but this is just to be dochi bakash, as we say, that maybe he's baking massive amounts of bread that it's not humanly possible for him to eat it. I don't know. But it's an excellent question. Ella, but now here's where we're in deep trouble. Rav Chisda kasha. And the kasha is really like a kal vachomer. Why? Because in the case of Ofer Miyantif L'chol, which is Eina Mechusar Maisa, the possibility that the Archim might come in and he doesn't have to do a Maisa, and nevertheless, Rav Chisda is not applying the principle of Hoel. How then could Rav Chisda apply the principle of Hoel in an RL who's Mechusar Maisa? I mean, there's more of a reason to say that we cannot apply the principle of Hoel because we have to do something to change the facts on the ground. Amri, so the Gemara answers, there's no contradiction between the two statements, the two positions of Rav Chisda. Ki lesley l'Rav Chisda hoil. When does Rav Chisda reject hoil? L'kula. Meaning that we're going to say he's off the hook when he explicitly said, I'm baking for tomorrow. Now you want to be lenient about it and say, well, Archim might show up. That he's not going to do. But l'chumra, if you want to invalidate the Karban and say that there's a Machsheves Shinu Bailim here because we're going to define and categorize the Orel as a Bar Kapar based on Hoil, Islay. Now, the simple pshat in this Gemara would seem intuitively to be, I mean, how do you imagine that on the one hand we take a principle and we apply it L'chumra, but we don't apply it L'kula? Why should you say such a thing? I mean, manavshav. How is it? You know, what is it? Does Rav Chisda accept Hoil? If he accepts Hoil, then why not accept Hoil in the case of Yontif Lekula? If he rejects Hoil, then why does he accept Hoil in the case of Ariel and Karpesach Lekula?
Maybe because it's to the status of Anand Uliza or the level of punishment.
Excellent, but you need one introduction before you say that. Mm-hmm. And what's that? I need a three-letter word in Hebrew. Anybody help me here? Any of the M's here, the Michaels and the Maxes?
A word for what?
I'm looking for one word. We need one introduction here in order to understand why you would take a principle and apply it l'chumer but not l'kul. What's the word I'm looking for? The concept I'm looking for? Ooh, look at this. We have a whiteboard. It's very sophisticated. Okay, this is called a suffix. What I mean to say is that Rav Chisda was actually perplexed. He was confused. He didn't know whether to apply Hoil or not to apply Hoil. So what principle applies in the case of Safek? Let's talk about it, D'oraisa, and then we'll get to your reason. But let's talk about D'oraisa, and then we'll get to the Rabban. I want to move step by step. So we have the following two principles. Principle number one is that Safek D'oraisa L'chumra. Principle number two is that Safek D'Rabbanan L'kula. Let's assume that we're dealing with a Safek D'Oraisa, so we have to be Machmir. Oh, if we have to be Machmir, we have to pass the Korban Pesach inside Safek. Because maybe we accept the principle of Hoil. But now you want to be Mekil and say that on Yontif, alright, let's look the other way. He's cooking for tomorrow, for Chol. But let's apply the principle of Hoil. Then I don't know. I'm in confusion. I'm in the dark. Can we apply Hoil? Can we not apply Hoil? So in this case, we're not going to apply Hoil L'chum. Now, this shot that I just gave you is wrong. How do I know it's wrong? Because what does Rav Chisda say in the case of Ofe Miyontif L'chol? Go back to the Gemara. Is one key word here, which is going to undermine my pshat.
Loke is drabana.
Exactly, loke. According to Rav Chisda, we're going to mete out 39 lashes to this fellow because he was ofe miyontif l'chol. How can you give malkas simply because you're going l'chumra to safek? We never found that we punish a person because of safek l'chumra, unless this word loke means something else. Anybody know what else it might mean?
Afflicted with what?
Did you ever hear of something called makas mardus? That's a lighter kind of a punishment of makas. And that's given for a violation of a durabon. So it could be that since here we have a suffix, and we're going to be very inhibited about applying the principle of hoil to allow him to cook from Yontif to Shabbos, but could be that Hoil does operate. Rav Chisda is in the dark about that. We can't give him Malkus, but at the end of the day, the Rabbanan told him, don't do that. And therefore, you might get Malkus the Rabbanan. However, Abosai, there's another reason why this whole principle of Safek, L'chora, can't be operative in our context. Let's take the case of the Machsheves Kohen L'Shem Arelim in the case of Korban Pesach. So what does Rav Chisda say about this case? Is the Korban kosher or possible? Hello? Knock, knock. Anybody home? I can't hear so many voices at once. I just can't decipher them. Again, according to Rav Chisda, the Kohen had in mind that the Korban Pesach should be L'Shem Arelim. What's the status of the Korban?
Possible.
Possible. Excellent. What does that mean now? Abosai, what does that mean if the Korban is possible? What are we going to tell the Bnei Chabura?
They wasted their money.
What else? Okay, they wasted their money, they can't eat the carbon. What else?
The oil is no good.
It was no good, and what else? Just give me the practical of the mice.
They're going to bring another.
Exactly, they have to replace it with another carbon. Now, if Rav Chisda is operating in Dinei Safek, you can't just say, well, besides Safek, I'm going to bring a carbon. Because every time you bring a carbon, and it could be that you are already Yonza, you fulfill your mitzvah with the first carbon Pesach.
Rachav Tala.
that bracha of Atola, this is called Safek Chulin Lazar. Okay? We're learning a lot tonight. Okay? Safek Chulin Lazar. Which means the following. A Korban Pesach could only become a Korban Pesach, which means it could only become kosher if you're obligated to bring the Korban Pesach. If you're not obligated, then it's called Chulin. It's like an animal off the street. Now I want to bring it on his back. That's a terrible violation of what's called an Issur Karis. Very severe violation. Now, if Rav Chisda is in the dark, he doesn't know what to do. Okay, so what's he saying? Let's go with Chumrah. Don't bring the carbon. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying don't bring the carbon and bring another one to replace it. That could be a Safek Chulin Lazar.
It's catch 22.
So we're in trouble over here. But if, on the other hand, Rav Chisda understood that the halacha is that we apply the principle of Hoil, and he was absolutely convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, that certainly we apply Hoil, and therefore, in the case of Arelim, he's considered Dumya the Chavero. And he's a Barakah part, and the carbon is possible with Torah Svada. If the carbon is possible with Torah Svada, then for sure Rav Chisda is going to require that you replace the carbon, and it's not even a Safek Chulin Lazar. But then, we're going to have to ask ourselves the following question. So why, as far as Yontif is concerned, did he say that he's not, that we're not going to apply the principle of Hoil? And what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that's a drabana. Maybe, you know, we don't want people baking on Yontif. You know, you imagine you're a baker by profession. You know, so Yontif comes around, you're going to have a blast. You're going to bake away, and you're going to tell me, well, you know what, maybe Archim will show up. Which is a lot of bunk, because that's not really, you yourself admit that you're doing it for chol. So Rav Chisda didn't want the situation to get out of hand. You know, run amok. You're going to have absolute anarchy here. People are going to just spend the entire Yontif baking away and applying the principle of Hoil. So although on a Daraisa level we would logically apply the principle of Hoil, but in our abundance we can't. And why not? Because we're going to get into deep trouble. People are going to take this to an extreme. They're going to abuse that privilege, and before you know it, there's no Yontif. But again, we're in trouble with the word Loka, and we're going to have to assume that the word Loka means Makas Mar. See how Michael,
are you suggesting that in the first case with the Korban Pesach it's midrash, so in this case it's midrash?
Correct. I have to assume it's midrash. So why? Because I'm in deep trouble if I don't assume it's midrash. How can we require a replacement carbon if the rabbanon wanted to make a gzeira of it? You know, really, the truth is that we don't apply the principle of holiness, which means that really, in truth, the carbon is kosher. Or at least Safek Kosher. But the Rabbanan are going to require replacement. In a case of replacement, what you have here is Chulin Bazara. So that leads me to the conclusion, again, just to review my logical step-by-step process, that Rav Chisda, when he said the carbon is possible and you have to replace it, he was talking about a Doraisa. He was absolutely convinced with all certainty that Hoyel applies. And the Oriel is considered Dumya de Chamero. He's a Bar Kapar because it's beyond a Hoyel because he can do the Mila. Okay, now I can justify why he brings the second carbon. The first carbon is absolutely possible. And there's no issue about the second replacement carbon. But I'm a little bit in trouble when I get to the case of Yontif, because here, in the case of Yontif, Rav Chisda refused to apply the principle of Hoyel. And then he said, if you went ahead and you baked on Yontif for Chol, you're going to get Malkus. How can he say you get Malkus if he accepted Hoyle on a Daraisa level? So you're going to have to say, if this logical approach is correct, that the unwinding of Hoyle, of application of Hoyle in the case of Afiyah B'Yontif, is only a Darabon, because the Darabon were very nervous about it, this Hoyle. You know, even though the Torah recognized Hoyle, but if you're going to take it to the extreme, who knows where it's going to lead to. There's no such thing as Yontif anymore, right? Oh, but then it says Loken. So what do we do with the word Loken, Rav Chisda? And here at this point, I have no other option but to say that it's Makas Mardus Drabon. All this is before Tosfos. Everything I told you is before Tosfos. Yeah.
When the Gemara wants to give a punishment of Makas Mardus, does it not say Makas Mardus as opposed to just Loken?
The word loka always tolerates two meanings. Wherever you see the word loka, anywhere in Shas, it's a methodology that you should take with you as you fly through Shas, that whenever you see the word loka, immediately press the button on the computer. Is this Makas Doraisa or is this Makas Derabon? So if you go through, for example, a Masechta which is called
Makos,
and I think Max is familiar with that Masechta. I never tested him on it, but I think he would have done very well. We went Makos together, the old rose days, I call it, when everything was pink and rosy. How's he doing?
I'm not totally.
Where is he in Adam?
Givatzev. Works with me.
Oh, you work together. Yeah. Wow, send him my best regards. Tell him I remembered him fondly in my Makashi. I mean, in my Psofim Shi. Anyway, so what it comes out is the following. You go through Masechta Makis from cover to cover. Like, for example, the opening Mishnah in Masechta Makis talks about a Ben Grusha and a Ben Chalutza. And the Mishnah establishes that such a person is not considered a Kohen. And the truth is that might make sense in the case of Ben Grusha, who's called a Cholo. I'm not going to get into that now, but it doesn't apply in the case of Ben Chalutza. And it turns out that the whole status of Ben Chalutza in the very first Mishnah in Makis is all Drabbana. Mm-hmm. So normally if a Cholo, a Kohen who's disqualified for Avodah, if he went ahead and did the Avodah, we're going to give him Malkus. So let's say he's a Ben Grusha, which means that his father is a Kohen who married a Grusha. He's the child of that relationship. If he goes ahead and does the Avodah when he gets old enough, he'll get Malkus for that. Malkus Doraisa, the full 39 Malkus. But in the case of Ben Chalutza, which is mentioned in the same breath in the Mishnah, he's only Chayv Malkus Drabbanan. And this is something that you take through all of Masechta Makis and for that matter all of Shas. However, Rabosai, everything I presented to you is pre-Tosis.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
The Makos Mardut, is that less than 39? Or it's 39 but it's not
as far? It works like this. It's quite complicated. It, you see, the law is the following. Every Makos requires a Shliach Bez, meaning there's a guy who, he's a paid worker, he's on the payroll of Bezdin, and he lashes at the Makos. So there are all sorts of halachas about how strong he is and what kind of pony skin whip he uses, and it's got to be basically down the middle, meaning he can't be too strong because then he'll kill the guy, he can't be too weak because then it won't be Malkus, you know, he's just a yeshiva guy who can't even give a slap on, he's such a shvacha guy, you know, he's so weak, he's like Burzon carrying two guns in the army. So it's got to be right in the middle. Not only that, the kli, you know, the whip that he uses also can't be too dangerous, can't be too light, it can't be like a feather, but so all those restrictions apply to Makis Doraisa. In the case of Makis Mardus, we're very lenient about that. We may find a weakling, we may find a kli that's not so powerful, it's like a feather, and we might let him get away with it. Bezdin is going to have to judge in each case. Okay, that's all for Masechta Makis. But I wanted to share with you Tosus. Where is this Tosus? You'll see on the page there are four Tosus in, and we're talking about the second Tosus on the page. And I'm going to summarize Tosus's view. Tosus says that surely Rav Chisda is perplexed about Hoyle. He doesn't know about Hoyle. And on a Doraisa level, we would not apply the Prince of Hoyle and require him to bring another carbon to replace this carbon because we don't apply the principle of Hoyle. And we saw that in the case of Yontif, where Rav Chisda refuses to apply the principle of Hoyle. However, Midrabanan, we're going to say Hoyle L'chumra. We're going to passel the Karba Midrabanan. Now wait a minute. That's against everything we said. Because Rabbanan can't passel a Karba, require you to bring another Karba. The Torah recognized the validity of that Karba based on Hoyle. So the Rabbanan are now suspending Hoyle when the Torah recognizes Hoyle, if that's the case. Just the other way around, sorry, I tripped up on that. That the Torah does not recognize Hoyle, and the Rabbanan are going to recognize Hoyle and passel the Karbon, that's what I meant to say. How could that be? Satosis, you'll see, invokes a sugya in Masechta Yevamos. And this is the famous sugya called Yesh Koach Biad Chachomim Lachar Dover Min HaTorah B'Shei V'Altas. So, for example, the famous Gzeira de Rabba, we can't blow shofar. when Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbos. We can't take a lulav when Sukkot coincides with Shabbos. That's all Gzeirah D'Rabbanan and called Gzeirah D'Rabbah. Now, how can the Rabbanan take a mitzvah d'oraisa? They don't have the authority and completely undermine a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Torah says that you have to take the lulav on the first day of Yontif, even if it's on Shabbos. The Rabbanan said, no, we're afraid he's going to carry it this, that, blah, blah. So that's called Shevi Altas. The Rabbanan could say, don't fulfill this mitzvah. That they can do. Okay, let's get back to the Karbon. So again, we saw on Yontif that Rav Chisda says that we reject Hoel, which means that in the case of Karbon Pesach, the Karbon is kosher. Why? Because if we reject Hoel, then the Karbon should be kosher, correct? The Rabbanan came along and they passed the Karbon. Oh, so Tosa says, the Rabbanan could say, don't bring this Karbon. That they can say. Yeah, but how are the Rabbanan able to say, bring another Karbon? That's already a Kuvah said. So Tosas has a Gevaldige Chiddush. And it's before the Zrika. The Shechita was done L'Shem Orel. And the Rabbanan are going to say that even though Hoel should apply, I'm sorry, I keep saying it the wrong way, even though on a Derais level Hoel does not apply, and if Hoel does not apply, just one second. I keep messing it up. I'm sorry. I apologize. I just got to get the mathematics there. Right? So again, on a Doraisa level, we don't say Hoel. And if we don't say Hoel,
then
the Karbon is kosher.
Yeah.
Everybody have that again. You're going to have to remind me in case I get messed up. If we don't say Hoel, right, just a negative becomes a positive, right? If we don't say Hoel, then the Karbon is kosher. We're not going to say Hoel, according to Rav Chisda, because we saw Rav Chisda in the case of Avashel, Miyontif Lechol, did not apply the principle of Hoel. So the Karbon is kosher. The Rabbanan said the following. We're going to consider it as possible. We're going to say that Lechumra, we're going to apply the principle of Hoel, and therefore Shini Bailim, and so forth, and the Karbon is possible. How can they possible the Karbon, which is kosher in the rice, and have you bring a replacement carbon? It's Chulul Azor. So the answer is, this all happened in the moments between Shechita and Zrika. So at the point of Shechita, he shechted L'Shem Arel. According to the Doraisa law, since we're not going to apply Hoel, the carbon is kosher. The Rabbanan are going to say, no, don't do the Zrika. Once we don't do the Zrika, then even on a Doraisa level, he's going to have to replace the carbon. Now, how did the Rabbanan get to that point where they can tell you to replace the carbon and bring a secondary carbon, a second carbon? That's already Kuvah Seh, that's beyond their authority. The answer is because they froze the frame at the point between Shechit and Zrika, and they told you don't do the Zrika. So when the Rabbanan tell you don't do the Zrika, then the carbon becomes possible because of the absence of Zrika. And now you have to bring a carbon to replace the first one on a Doraisa level. So this is the kunz, this is the shtick by which the Rabbanan can circumvent the law, so to speak, and they can get you to bring a replacement carbon for a carbon that's kosher on a Doraisa level. Because since we're not, according to Rav Chisda, we don't accept the principle of Hoel, and we saw that by Ofer Miyotim Lechol, in the case of carbon Pesach, if we don't accept Hoel, the carbon is kosher on the Doraisa, but the Rabbanan can say, stop here. Don't go on with the Zrika. And that they can do because Yesh Kof Yad Chachomim, Lakar Dov Ben Ator, B'Shevi Altas. But once they tell you not to do the Zrika, what happens to the Karbon?
Possible
on what level?
On the Zrika.
On a Doraisa level. And once it's possible on a Doraisa level, he has to replace the Karbon. So this is the sheet of Tosis. And based on this Tosis, the base mayor, who lived about 150 years ago, 200 years ago, okay, he came from a town called Posen. Did you ever hear Posen?
I've heard of the town. I knew a classmate with that same name.
Oh, if his last name was Posen, then chances are that one of his ancestors came from a city of Posen. And the Rav of Posen was the base mayor. And the base mayor says the following, that what happens in the following scenario, according to Tosfos, the Kohen had a machshava l'shem arelim, and the Rabbanan told the Kohen not to do the Zrika, and maybe he didn't hear them, or maybe another Kohen stepped up to the plate, and he did the Zrika. What's going to be in this case, according to Rav Chisda? Will they bring a replacement carbon or not? Hello, don't know, answer at once. I realize it's already 9 o'clock and we're all falling apart, but I have to wake you up. I had a Rebbe when I was 18 that if he saw you falling asleep, in those days people were smokers. It was unbelievable in my youth. I mean, it's a whole different... In those days, the room was covered with a cloud of smoke. So what he would do, the Rebbe, if he saw you falling asleep, he would come over and grab your cigarettes from you and start smoking them. And if that didn't work, he started giving you Buxom. You know Buxom? He started beating you up until you woke up. I think I should apply some of those methods today. Maybe it would wake you up, especially at 9...
Don't take the cigarettes.
9:15 at night, right?
Did you smoke?
Okay, so again, I'm going to ask my question. Here's the question of the base man. According to Tosfos, the Kohen went ahead and he shechted the carbon Pesach l'shem Arel. And what did the Rabbanan tell him? The Rabbanan told him, you know what? We don't accept the principle of Hoel. The Arel is therefore out of the camp of Bar Kapar of carbon Pesach. And therefore the carbon is kosher. Because it's like, you know, he has a mind for a moon man, you know, something from a different planet. That doesn't pass the carbon, it's not Dumya Dideh. The Rabbanan say that even though the Torah says to go ahead with the Zrika, we're going to tell you not to go ahead with the Zrika the same way that we told you not to take the shofar of Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. And that's called Shevi Alta said you won't do the Zrika. The Kohen went ahead and he did the Zrika. With the Kabura, the group, where they have to bring another karma. No, why not? Because now, once they did the Zrika, the carbon is kosher. The Rabbanan could only prevent the Zrika and therefore find a way of passing the carbon. But now, the Kohen, facts on the ground, de facto, fait accompli, we used to say, he was mazorik the dam. Once he was zorik the dam, the carbon is kosher. And you can't deny that. Now the Rabbanan are going to tell him, well, bring a replacement carbon because we don't like the first one. That's already beyond the parameters, the authority of the Chacham. That would already be Kumbas.
So this is all an explanation of how Rav Chisda can both passel the Karban, but not hold Hovel.
He can passel the Karban, even though he rejects Hovel. Correct. And how do we know he rejects Hovel? For the case of what? Of Yom. Once he rejects Hovel, the Karban itself is kosher in the case of L'shem HaRelim, because he rejects Hovel, and if he rejects Hovel, this RL is out of the orbit, and therefore there's no psul of Shini Bailin. How could then Rav Chisda tell me that the Rabbanon would not, Lechumra, would not accept Hoel, and therefore they can passel a carbon and force you to replace the carbon? It's Chulin Lazora. And the answer is, they're going to tell you not to do this Rishon.
Shabbat.
All right. Now, at this point in the Sugya, the Gemara resurrects the Brisa that we spoke about last week, from the dead. And if you remember, the Braisa, in the case of Shechita L'shem HaRelim, discussed the case of Miktas Arla. What was Miktas Arla? The Kohen had in mind two groups, two people. Which two people, Max? HaRelim and Mul. Okay then? HaRelim and Mul. And the Gemara vacillates back and forth. How do we judge this case? How do we analyze it? Should we compare it to Tumah? Which means that if the Kohen had in mind, when he shechted the carbon Pesach, he had in mind both Tmeim and Tahorim, and there the carbon is kosher. So too in the case of Arelim and Mulin, the carbon should be kosher. Or should we compare it to the case of Chutz L'Zmano? In Chutz L'Zmano, if let's say the Kohen had in mind that the carbon Pesach should be eaten tomorrow, but only a part of the carbon pesach, let's say a kezias is worth only be eaten tomorrow, which is called chutz l'zmano, and the balance of the lamb will be eaten today, bizmano. In that case, the carbon is possible. The machshava of achilas kezias chutz l'zmano makes the carbon into pigul and finito. That's it. Oh. The carbon has to be thrown out. So it's a more vessels, the price of vessels. Should we compare the case of mixas arla, meaning l'shem arelim l'shem mulim, to the case of Miktas Tameh, where he has a mind for both Tmeim and Tahorim, and then the carbon would be kosher? Or should we compare it to the case of Miktas Chutz L'Zmano, where the carbon is possible? So the Gemara says the following, the Braisa says the following. I would prefer the equation to Tumah. Why? because this is a unique halacha in Karban Pesach that does not apply to Zvachim in general, to general Karbanos. In other words, in the case of Mitzas Tomei, which means that the Tomei can't eat the Karban Pesach because he's Tomei, here we have a unique psul that applies to Karban Pesach and only to Karban Pesach. And that psul is akin to the question of Lemulim Uliarelim. Because again, this halacha that if Shaloli Achlov, it passes the Karban, only applies to one single Karban on the entire face of the constellation of Kodesh. Which Karban is applied to? Karban Pesach, and only to Karban Pesach. Any other Karban, whatever you want to put on the list, if the Kohen had in mind for the sake of someone who's incapable of eating the Karban still remains kosher. Only in the case of Karban Pesach is it possible. Therefore, Mitzas Tameh is very, very akin to Mitzas Arla, because we're dealing with the unique laws that apply to Karban Pesach. And we're saying that if somewhere in his machshava, the Kohen had in mind L'shem Ochlov, that some people who can eat the Karban, the Tahorim can eat the Karban, or the Mulim can eat the Karban remains possible, because there is Achila in this Karban Pesach. However, Chutz L'Zmano, that's not a Pesach Halacha, that's Halacha that applies in all Zvot. Amalemar Zucher Bereder of Marilu Avina Katani, Ho'il the Arla Posels V'Tumah Poseles, Ma tuma lo asaba mixas tuma kikol tuma af arlo lo asaba mixas arlo kikol arlo. So just like in the case of mixas tuma, the carbon is kosher. So to mixas arlo, the carbon is kosher. Frankly, Gemara, I don't understand. Hi tuma hechi dummy. What's the case of tuma? Elema, because there are two possibilities in tuma. Either the person became tummy, or the basar of the lamb became tummy. Elema, if you're going to say bitumas gavre, that the person became tummy. So he says the following: if the person became tummy, so let's say you have a group of five people who are money on this carpet, and one of them becomes tummy, he has in mind for the entire group, including the tummy. Umay. And what is the meaning of the rice that says lo asaba mixas tuma kol tuma, which means the iika arba v'chamisha gavri tmeim, the arba v'chamishi gavri tahorim. So we've got 10 people in this chabur, 5 of which are tahorim and 5 are tmeim, and he shechted the Karban Pesach in mind for the entire chabura, lo pasilei tmeim l'tahorim, is therefore if he shechted it for both the Tmeim and the Torah who make up this Chabura, the Karban is kosher, because there are those five members of the Chabura that can eat the Karban. And now, by parallel, in the case of Mixas Arli, Shechts L'Shem Arelim L'Shem Mulim, he's got 10 people in his group, 5 are Arelim and 5 are Mulim, the Pesach remains kosher. Then I have a difficulty. Why? Because Gabi Arla Nami Holo Pasli, are you telling me that in the case of Arla, if he has in mind Mixas Psulim that are Arelim, so the carbon is kosher? This nan, we have a Mishnah Lemulimula Arelim kosher. Is Maishna Tuma de Pshitale, a Maishna Arla de Mesafkale? The very same Mishnah that tells me that Mixas Arla is kosher, if he had in mind for the Chabura, which is made up of both Mulim and Arelim, the carbon is kosher. That very same Mishnah tells me that if he had in mind for the entire Chabura, it's made up of Tmeyam and Tahorim, the carbon is kosher. But Maishna Tahora, you know, you're saying that we should compare the case of Mixas Arelim to the case of Mixas Tmeim, as if to say that it was a Dover Pashut, it was a given. In Yiddish we say it was upgaret. It was upgaret, I don't even have to tell you, that in the case of Tuma, Mixas Tuma, the carbon is kosher. How do you know such a thing? By the very token that you open up the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says Mixas Arelim is kosher, Mixas Tmeim are kosher. It's not that one is more similar to the other. Ella, therefore, we have to, by process of elimination, we have to talk about what kind of tumah's basar. In other words, the sheretz fell on the lamb, and that was metami the basar, the Karban Pesach. Umaylo asaba mixas tumah called tumah. The ilu itme chadme varin. Let's say one of the limbs of the Karban Pesach came in contact with a sheretz, it became tumah. And if that limb is separated from the rest of the body of the lamb, there's no transmission of tumah. and therefore hide the itme sarfina. They will just burn that aver, that limb that became, that contracted tumor. But the idach, the balance of the lamb, achlinale, we're allowed to eat it. That's the din of mikzas tumah, which is kosher, and that was pashut to the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, that's not too satisfying. Why? B'mayu kimto, you tell me the case is tumas basar, is emas sefer. Let's look at the rest of the brisa. The brisa says, donim davar she'ein noig b'chol hazvachim, mi davar she'ein noig b'chol hazvachim. V'al yochiach zman, in the case of chutz zman, she'noig b'chol hazvachim. Umay tuma, what are we talking about now in the sefer? E name, if you're going to tell me tumas basar, am I eno noig el bezvachim? Why is this a unique halacha in Karban Pesach? Is this a universal halacha that if the basar of the karba becomes tamei, then you're not allowed to eat the karba? That's not a unique halacha in Karban Pesach. El pshita, therefore, we have to go back to our original position with tumas gavre. We're talking about the case not where the basar became tamei, but because the person, member of the chabur became tamei. What does it mean that in this case we have a unique psul that applies only in Karban Pesach? The ilu b'chol hazvachim arel v'tamei mishalchin karbanos sehem. If a person is an arel, he can still bring a karban. He himself can't enter into the azara. We won't let him in, but he can send the karban with a shliach, with an agent. Or if he's Tomei, he can't enter into the Azor, but he can send the cargo with an agent. But if a person wants to send the Karban Pesach, and he's an Ariel or he's a Tomei with a Shliach, we're not going to accept the Karban Pesach, because the Pesach has to be given to Achila, and he is not capable of Achila. The Pasuk says in Karban Pesach, Ish Lufi Achlo, is then Reisha, Betumas Basar, Besefa, Betumas Gavre. You're telling me that the last case of Tumas Gavre is a case where the person became Tomei, and that's a unique halacha in Karban Pesach. But the Reisha you proved is talking about Tumas Basar, where the Basar became Tomei. How can it be? There's no connection here between the first part of the price and the second part. The first part of the price is talking about a case where the Basar became Tomei, and the Seifa is talking about a case of Tumas Gavre. Amalei Ravina says, in, yes. I have no problem with that. The Reisha, the Tana wants to learn the halach of Ariel from Tumas Basar. And the Seifa, then he wants to explain why the logic is to compare Arla to Tuma, that he stretches his arm out to the case of Tumas Gavre. Why? Because Shem Tuma Kaparech, he's talking about the concept of Tuma. He's not going into details and differentiating between whether the Gavra became Tomei or the Basa became Tomei. He's just saying that our law, the issue of Arelim and so forth, is Dumya, is more similar to the case of Tuma, because in Tuma we have a halacha that's very unique, namely, that if the Gavra became Tomei, he cannot send his carbon with a Shliach, and that's unique to Karban Pesach. And therefore, we're going to compare the case of Arla to the case of Tuma, and we're going to drive the conclusion that if he has in mind, if he has in mind, that if what? If the Basar became Tomei, then the rest of the Karban Pesach remains kosher, and therefore we're going to say in Arla that if he has in mind for Mulim, and he also has in mind for Arelim, then the Karban remains kosher. So I think we'll stop over here, because this is a good place to make a break, and we'll stop for Mayru. And I hope you got something out of the shiur. Again, for those who joined me for the first time tonight, it's a little bit challenging. You know, we've been working on some of these
things. Enjoy it. Thank you.
Again, as I always say, if you can come on Tuesday nights, we're doing a great moral work. It's called Pelio. It's right here on the table. It was written about 250 years ago by one of the Sephardic greats. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful sefer. You know, it's almost contemporary. His name is Rav Papa.
Where did he go?
Not sure. I'll check that out for you. I think he was in Spain, but I'm not 100% sure.